Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Inner Life here on this Thursday, May 26th. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond. And you know, if you're a regular listener here to The Inner Life, you know that the focus of the show is to look at different aspects of our spiritual life, our spiritual journey, trying to gain a better understanding of what we believe as Catholics so that we can use that knowledge, that understanding, to better guide us, to help us see how God might be leading in our lives, how he's trying to speak to us. And if there's one theme that gets brought up more than anything else during this hour, with all the different priests that we talk to here, it's that we have to spend time in prayer. If you don't set aside at least some time during your day to talk with God and to listen to him, to try and understand what he's saying to you, if you don't do that, you're probably not developing any sort of relationship with God, and that means you're probably not going to make much progress in your faith journey. And so I want to take a moment here to tell you about a great resource for you to learn more about prayer and the power of prayer, especially the intercession of Mary, our Blessed Mother. Our chairman and our CEO here at Relevant Radio, Father Rocky, he has a book that's being offered absolutely free right now to anybody who wants a copy. And why do we offer it for free? Well, it's because we want to encourage every single person that we possibly can to just grow in their prayer life. And so this book that Father Rocky wrote, it's called The Memorare Moment. And in this book, Father Rocky, he shares a lot of just personal experiences with prayer, some of his growing up years, but also how he's seen incredible miracles happen when people humbly ask for the intercession of the Blessed Mother, especially in praying that prayer, the Memorare. And I don't want to give away too much here on the book because I want you to be able to read it for yourself. But again, you can receive a copy absolutely free if you just sign up today. You just have to tell us where you want it sent. And you don't have to even pay for shipping. We'll cover that cost too. So all you have to do is just go to our website, relevantradio.com, and you'll see right there on the homepage where you can click on a button to sign up and get your own free copy of The Memorare Moment. You can also sign up on the Relevant Radio app. You'll see a banner at the top of the page when you open the app. But we do have a limited supply of these books. So please, if you're signing up, I know it might be it might be tempting to get one for every one of your kids or to get it for, you know, some neighbors or some people at your parish. But please only register for one book for yourself so that other people have the ability to get their own copy. But by all means, tell your friends and extended family or those parishioners, tell them to sign up and get their own book as well. But don't ask for 10 or 15 copies for yourself. But again, relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app, you can get the book there. Again, it's called The Memorare Moment, absolutely free. And it's our gift to you just to help you grow in your prayer life. And then once you register, all you have to do is just simply wait for it to be shipped out to you. And I know, waiting is rarely ever enjoyable, regardless of what it is, you know, whatever you're waiting for. If you're in a waiting room to see a doctor, or if you're waiting to be seated at a busy restaurant, you might keep on thinking, well, what's taking so long here? Or maybe you're waiting to give a speech or a presentation, make some sort of presentation in front of a group or a crowd. And then you might just wish that you could get it over with. The waiting, it ends up making you more anxious with every passing minute. And those minutes when you're waiting, they can just drag on and on. And The nice thing is, though, once the waiting is over, once you're into that event, that moment that you were waiting for, then you might find that time actually kind of changes. It starts racing by instead of dragging on, especially if the event is something enjoyable. Like if you were waiting for family to visit out of town, you know, they're coming in to visit you. Prior to their arrival, it might have seemed like time was moving so slowly, but once they arrive, that time that they spend with you, it moves by so quickly, it races by. And then when it's time for them to leave, when you're all saying your farewells, you might look back on that visit and think how fast it all went by. I kind of imagine that this is how the apostles and the other followers of Jesus must have felt when he ascended to heaven. They had experienced this amazing relief, this overwhelming joy when Jesus was resurrected. The friend that they thought was dead, he was back. But then just when they think everything is great, everything's kind of getting back to normal, Jesus is back here with us, then he leaves. For some of us in the U.S., depending on where you live, depending on your diocese, some of us observe the solemnity of the Ascension today. For others, we'll be celebrating the Ascension this Sunday. But regardless of which day your diocese recognizes it, the Ascension of Jesus, it's here. Does it seem like Easter was really a month and a half ago, almost 6 weeks ago? Did that time from Easter Sunday till now, did that race by for you? The Ascension also has one other very big implication for us. Jesus said, if he leaves, he's going to come back. So we find ourselves waiting again. We're in this waiting period right now, waiting for Jesus' return. And while you're in that waiting period, what's your attitude? Are you excited? Are you saying, when will he get here? What's taking so long? Or do you find yourself with the attitude of, no need to rush? I'm still in the middle of a few things here. You can take your time, Jesus. Which one are you? Well, that's what we want to talk about today. What we can learn from the Ascension and how it speaks to us, what it can teach us here 2,000 years after the life of Jesus, the earthly life of Jesus, and his, of course, crucifixion, but his resurrection and then his ascension. And joining us today, I'm very glad to welcome to the program Father Ethan Southard. Father Ethan is a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles and the pastor of St. John Eudes Church in Chatsworth, California. And we were having a little bit of difficulty getting him on the line here. Nick, do we have Father Ethan here? Okay, great. Father Ethan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Josh. I'm
glad to have you here.
Hi. Thanks so much. Yeah, we were just, actually, we had our school mass this morning, and I think it may have run just a couple minutes longer. So it's great to be with you all today.
Yeah, absolutely. So talking about the Ascension of Jesus here, we still are in this season of Easter here in the church, and we know that Jesus rose from the dead, but he spent over a month here on earth before ascending to heaven. And so it might be good to just maybe look and say, what was Jesus doing during those 40 days after his resurrection? We spend so much time, especially during Lent, looking at the events that lead up, especially in Holy Week, lead up to the crucifixion and then celebrating the resurrection. And now we're in this period here. What has happened since the resurrection up until this moment where Jesus then ascends to heaven?
That's a great question, and it's great to also put the Ascension in the context that it's part of the Paschal Mystery. And so when we're speaking of the Paschal Mystery, in particular, we're talking about four events. There's, you know, the Church teaches that there are four events referring to God's plan of salvation. And so those four, the first, it's the suffering and crucifixion of Jesus. It's his passion. His passion, death, the resurrection, and ultimately the ascension. And so that's part of the saving, the passing over, you know, from one way of life to the other, from this earth to that life of heaven. And so, you know, the Church is giving us, you know, all of this time for the Easter season, because there's so much to receive and to process, to unpack. You know, if we think back to, you know, the morning of Easter, or even the second Sunday of Easter, it's the disciples are just incredulous. They can't believe that Jesus is here. They just saw him die, you know, in a brutal crucifixion, a death. And they saw him buried. And then here he is, the tomb's empty, and they're hiding behind locked doors. They're terrified. And then Jesus appears. He says, "Peace be with you." And so he's standing with them in this peace, and he's helping their hearts to become still because they've been traumatized. And so rather live with that trauma, he's helping them just to receive peace, to enter into a stillness so that their hearts could be open to actually receive this new life, the resurrected life. And so Jesus was spending this time during the resurrection when he was with them, journeying with them. Remember the next time, you know, Jesus appears, you know, twice, but then the third time, Peter and he brought some of the others with him, they go back to their old way of life. They go back fishing. Jesus is there. He's like, "Well, have you caught anything? How was the catch today?" And they didn't catch anything. And so he says, "Well, why don't you try it over there? Let's try it my way. Try it with me." And of course, you know, then Jesus is there and he's helping to unpack. He's helping Peter unpack it all when Peter denied him three times. And Jesus is there to say, "Do you love me, Peter?" And Peter's starting to get frustrated and, you know I love you. All right, well, you know, you can only really love me, Peter, with my love, with God's love. That's how we can only really love each other, is with my love. So let's keep receiving it. Keep receiving that love. And then when he appeared to Mary Magdalene, I love this one. It's in John 20:17. You know, Mary, she's so close to Jesus, and then she goes to the tomb. It's empty. And then, you know, she sees the gardener. And then when she realizes that it's Jesus, you know, she gets excited, but then Jesus says, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So even in the resurrection, Jesus is helping his disciples, he's helping all of us get prepared for the ascension. And so it's stop holding on to me, stop clinging to me. He says, it's my God, it's your God, my Father and your Father. He's helping to lift our heads up in the beauty and the dignity of who we are. We're made in the image and likeness of God. And so he's helping us to really receive that life, that divine life, and to live in that way, not in a clingy way, not holding on, not even to Jesus. Not clinging to Jesus, but actually being able to stand up tall and straight in the dignity that God has made us and he's bestowed upon each and every one of us, and to actually live in that goodness that he's given us. So that's, I think, you know, the way I'm reading it and what I'm hearing from the Gospels, I think that's what Jesus is doing during this time of the resurrection. But it takes time for us to really believe that, because we've all been traumatized in some way, you know, because of sin. And so then we start, it's tough for us to really believe how good we are.
Well, you know, as you're talking about this too, he wants to bring us to a point where we can enter into that life, share that life that God is offering us. He also, I forget exactly where he says it, but he says, "I no longer call you slaves, but I call you friends." And that was something that really stood out to me as I don't know, within the last couple of years, I kind of put together when we see the events of the ascension, especially as St. Luke tells it in his gospel, Jesus goes out to Bethany, and I hadn't put together the pieces that Bethany is where Mary and Martha and Lazarus live. And so in my mind, he's right before he's about to leave. Not only is he spending time with the apostles, but he wants to say goodbye. He wants to spend time with just some good, dear friends that he's known for years now. And so he makes that kind of that last visit. He calls each of us to friendship, and we get to see that those friendships are so important to him before he ascends to heaven.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's drawing us into that friendship, into that communion, and in the Spirit. So the Spirit, it's not held by one person. The Spirit is shared. That's the reality of the life, of the love shared between the Father and the Son. And so when he says, I don't call you slaves, he says, I call you my friends, he's drawing us into that relationship that he shares with the Father. He's drawing us into communion in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit, in that relationship with his Father. And it's beyond, it's mind-blowing. I mean, this is, talk about life transforming. This is the reality, but this is the dignity that he's bestowing upon us. And now he's entrusting, you know, the mission to us. And so that is, you know, as you're saying in Luke and in Matthew, and he's saying, you know, go. You have the Spirit. You're in this communion with me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he's entrusting that mission in friendship to the disciples and to all of us today. And so we continue to live that life in the Spirit of friendship, like you're saying, Josh.
Well, so again, I'm talking with Father Ethan Southard here today on The Inner Life. He's a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, a regular voice here on The Inner Life, and also want to open up the phone lines for you to call in. As we talk about the Ascension, and the studio line is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. And one of the things I want to get into here, Father, is also how we can look at the Ascension and what it really calls for us today. You know, the fact that Jesus said, if I leave, I'm preparing a place for you, and I will return to call you again to myself. And so as you're listening, how do you live your life in anticipation of Jesus' return? What have you done to prepare yourself to make Jesus' return, his second coming, a truly special event when it happens? But also, you know, how do you not live with eyes only for the future so that you can still live right now here in this present moment, bringing the kingdom of God here as best as we can, you know, as we pray every time that we say the Our Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Again, the studio line, 888-914-9149. And Father, maybe we can at least start talking about that. You know, Jesus, if he goes, he's preparing a place. He's going to call us again to himself. How do you think I think it's so easy for us to kind of get in this mindset of, oh yeah, Jesus is going to come again in the future at some point, but it's not going to be today. It's not going to be next week. I mean, I've got things that I need to do. I've got, you know, all these plans, and that's somewhere down the road. That can be a little bit of a dangerous mindset, because even Jesus himself says, no one knows when the Son of Man will return. And he gives several parables that talk about how people will be caught off guard. So how do we kind of reorientate ourselves so that we can plan ahead for the future, we can be wise, and we can be prudent in our planning, but that we don't get so caught up in that future planning that we you know, find ourselves in kind of one of those situations in those parables that Jesus talks about, where we're caught off guard by the coming of Jesus?
That's a great question. Someone had, you know, there's a story, and it's told in different ways, but essentially, it's, if you knew that Jesus is coming to visit or coming to call you today, what would you do? And you know, some people say, "Oh, well, I would go and I'd go to Mass, I'd go to confession, I'd go receive communion, I would go apologize to everyone that I needed to apologize or ask forgiveness for from." You know, I would go and I'd clean my house. I'd get it ready if I knew Jesus was coming to visit today. You know, and then someone just said, oh, well, I would just keep doing what I'm doing. Keep living the life I'm living, because I'm ready already. I'm prepared. They've been prepared. So just keep doing the normal things that you're doing. And so I think at the heart of that is, if we miss heaven now, if we miss heaven now, then we will miss heaven later. So if, you know, it's kind of like the what you were just talking about in the Our Father, you know, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we pray for. And that's actually, it's not just a promise for something in the future, but Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is among you. It's in your midst. The kingdom of God is here now. So if we miss it, if we don't have the eyes to see and to recognize the kingdom in our midst, if we miss heaven now, then we're going to miss it in the future, because it's the way of being. Jesus is the life, the truth, and the way. He's not a destination. It's the way. And so if he's inviting us to live this life with him now on the way, we're all here together in the suffering, you know, in those dark moments too. Because as, you know, for those of us who didn't have the Ascension readings today, Jesus is still getting us ready for that. And this is in the Gospel of John. But he says, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. And so there's that promise of even in the midst, even in the darkness, even in the crucifixion, that there will be joy. There's a new life that emerges. And so Jesus is helping us even now in this moment to live that life. And so that commissioning that he gives us, the great commissioning at the Ascension, where he ascends, he leaves, seemingly, it's kind of like it's a maturity. We're maturing as disciples. We're growing. And so he's saying, okay, now you have the Spirit. It's in the Spirit. He says, we're continuing the good news in the Spirit of the Father and Christ in us. And so the Acts of the Apostles that we hear about, those first stories after the Ascension in the book, we become the Acts of the Apostles. We do. Every day. We're continuing that life, that living gospel. We, in this time, 2022, in the United States or wherever we're listening from, we become the Acts of the Apostles in the Spirit of Christ in us. So that's this great promise of heaven on earth now.
Talking with Father Ethan Southard, again, a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, pastor of St. John Ute's Church in Chatsworth, California, talking about the Ascension of Jesus might be celebrated today in your diocese. Other dioceses across the country have moved it to this upcoming Sunday. But wherever you are, of course, it's a very, very important event in the life of our Lord. And also trying to understand, what does it mean for us today? Here and now, not just historically, but what does this call us to do? And how are you living that life that Father Ethan was talking about? Living your life in anticipation of Jesus's return, helping to bring about heaven right here on earth, right now. What are some ways that you are continuing to live out the Ascension in your life? 888-914-9149 is the phone number to call into the studio. 888-914-9149. You can also email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com, and we'll continue our conversation in just a moment here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters Flexible Premium Life Insurance. For less than $12 a month, a 40-year-old can get $500,000 of coverage. Go to relevantradio.com/forester, an Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond, speaking with Father Ethan Southard, a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, also taking your phone calls at 888-914-9149. As today we talk about the Ascension of Jesus and how are you living your life, anticipating the return of Jesus, of course, but looking at what that promise of Jesus ascending to heaven means for your future. the hope that we have because of Jesus ascending to heaven. Of course, his resurrection, his defeating death. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father Ethan, we talked here in the first segment of the hour about what Jesus had been doing during that time after his resurrection, but before the ascension. And now Jesus has ascended into heaven. We're in this waiting period here. So we're kind of talking, we've talked about ourselves. What is Jesus himself doing? We know that he obviously miraculously shares himself with us in the Eucharist here on earth, but in heaven, what is Jesus doing right now, being reunited with the Father and the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's an image of God that I love, and they say that the Holy Trinity, there's an image of the Holy Trinity dancing. And so it's that inner life of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are dancing. So there's this activity, there's this divine life which continues. And so Jesus is, you know, he ascended in our flesh. He took our humanity. You know, that can't be undone. You can't undo Jesus. So the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, came into our world, was made incarnate, took on our flesh, took on our reality, took our sins, and he took all of the sins to the grave, right? And then he was resurrected with a new life in our flesh, in our humanity. Our humanity was resurrected, and our humanity has ascended. Our humanity right now in this moment is in heaven, within Jesus, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is fully in heaven. And so that gives us hope because he, in the Spirit, he's given us his Spirit. And so in his Spirit and in our humanity, we are being drawn in that dance of divine life and divine love. And so that's our hope, that's our promise, that even now, in the midst of a sinful and suffering world, that we could rejoice and somehow we're able to pull through. There's an image in the book of Acts in chapter 7, 55. This is Stephen. And so Stephen was put on trial before the Sanhedrin. And so we're told Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. So a lot of times we hear that you know, someone is seated at the right hand of the Father, right? That's even what we say in our creed, that he's seated at the right hand. In the book of Acts, Stephen sees Jesus in heaven standing in the place of honor. So you could almost see Jesus is participating. He's engaging in our life, and he sees where Stephen is going up to this moment of his own judgment, of his own death, right? You know, Stephen was stoned. And yet, as Stephen is right at that moment, he prays for the persecutors, and he's offering his life to the Father, right? In the same spirit. It's the same prayer that Jesus prayed when he was on the cross. And now that Spirit is actually, that divine life is actually coming up in Stephen. And so Stephen, in the moment of his death, he's saying, don't hold this against them, right? And so then what happens? The persecutor, Saul, the bad one, the bad boy, who's going around throwing rocks and stones, because of Stephen, that divine life of Christ in Stephen, as Stephen's participating in a real way in the Paschal mystery, then all of a sudden, somehow, that bad boy, the one that everyone hated and was terrified of, the fearful one, the one who was going around terrorizing everyone, right? All of a sudden, Saul becomes Paul. And the people can't believe it. They're like, no, he was killing us. He was persecuting. He was torched. He was trying to wipe us out. That one, that's the one, because of that divine life in Stephen, that one actually became Paul. And Paul went around the rest of the world sharing this good news of God's love, of God's mercy. God's mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy me. I forget who it was, but somebody sang a song, Mercy Me, right? One of the old R&B guys. Mercy, mercy me.
Yeah.
God's mercy coming up within all of us. And then Paul goes around and we still, you know, most of the New Testament was written by Paul.
Yeah.
Paul says it's through the grace. It's not, you know, it's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. It's the love of God. It's not, you know, it's not the law. The law wasn't able to do it. But it's the grace. It's the mercy. It's the love. It's the Spirit of God with Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father that is pulling us through.
Yeah. Yeah, it just had never occurred to me, you know, even though I've probably read it dozens of times, but as you're talking about Jesus standing at the right hand of God there in that vision that Stephen has as he's being martyred, that it's not Jesus just passively sitting, but it's like he stood up to welcome the very next citizen that is entering into heaven. And even as Stephen then, as he is being killed, he's calling out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That idea of Jesus standing up, wanting to welcome, wanting to draw us in, you know,
and cheering us on. Yeah, you can do it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. The best is yet to come. the best is yet to come. Maybe we can talk about that for a moment. You know, I mentioned Jesus makes the claim, if I leave you, if I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will return to receive you unto myself. What insight do we have about what Jesus is preparing for us in heaven?
Well, I mean, St. Paul, he says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard the glory of what awaits us. You know, but we know it's going to be incredible. And it's even, you know, Paul was also taken up to those heights of heaven, even here on earth. And so, you know, Paul says, you know, well, if I die, then I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Father. He says, you know, and then he says, but if I stay here, I get to be with you. It's heaven on earth. He says, whether I live or die, he says, it doesn't really matter, because that life of God is actually already here. It's just a veil that we're kind of going between. And so, you know, there was a funeral the other day that we celebrated, and this person loved scuba diving. And so we just started looking at the ocean and talking about the ocean. And you could look at the ocean and you can kind of see down below, kind of, sort of. You know, maybe when it's clear, you can kind of peer in. You know, maybe not fully, but you can kind of get an idea. But if you actually go under the water and you go down and you have, you know, you can start to see this life, this activity. You see the dolphins and the sharks and the fish and the coral reefs, and it's a whole other world that's right there. You know, but we enter into that and we start to see. And so I think heaven is, in a certain way, you know, on the other side of that veil. It's kind of like going into that other dimension. It's there already. You know, and we can kind of get glimpses of it sometimes. We can kind of see, and maybe if the water's still, we can kind of peer through. But God is inviting us to actually start living that life even now. And there's someone, you know, that I just recently kind of came across that I just wanted to share. Her name is Chiara Amarante. And there was an article in Alatia that had just come up. Chiara Amarante. And it just talks about how she had this incurable eye disease, this incurable blindness. And so when she was in college, this was in Italy, you know, she would go to Rome, she was going to school, and as she was going to school, she would start to notice the homeless or the poor and the suffering, and so she would start to give them a sandwich or an apple. And then, you know, little by little, she also started to feel God calling her to go not just to the bus stop, but to go down into the subway, into the dark, into the depths, because there was a whole camp of the homeless and the drug addicted and the prostitutes that were living down there. And so she did. She started to go down. And right at that moment, that's when her eyes really started to go blind. And she was just wrestling with God. She says, God, you're calling me to go into the dark, into the depths, and I want to. I want to follow you, even though I'm scared, even though I'm terrified, but now I'm blind. So what is it that you want? I want to follow you, but if you want me to do this, you have to give me the strength. You have to give me the sight to see. And the next day she woke up and she could see. And so then she started to serve those people that were cast aside and forgotten and share that mercy of God with them. And then fast forward 30 years later, she has a religious, or it's actually an association of the faithful. And so it's called New Horizon. And Pope Francis has been visiting their community there in Italy. And so their charism is the Paschal Mystery. It's Holy Saturday. It's going into that dark. Because as she enters into that dark with others, as Jesus enters the tomb of that darkness, there's a resurrection. There's a new life that comes up. And so there's been so many people that have been, their lives are being transformed. But it's having that vision, being able, the eyes to see heaven here on earth, even God in the other person, even if they're a sinner, or even if there's someone that we can't stand or we think is dirty, God is here, heaven is here on earth.
Talking with Father Ethan Southard today, looking at the ascension of Jesus and how we are called to live our lives after having that incredible encounter with Christ personally, what he calls us to do. How do you live your life knowing that Christ is in heaven calling you to be part of the life of God? How do you live your life in anticipation of Jesus' return? 888-914-9149 is the number you can call and join us here in the studio. Talk with Father Ethan, 888-914-9149. And we'll be right back. You're listening to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Talking about the ascension of Jesus today here on The Inner Life. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond, and our spiritual director, Father Ethan Southard, a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and also taking your phone calls at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father, the ascension itself seems to me kind of this bittersweet moment. You know, the apostles, they've just been reunited with Jesus. They've had 40 days there together with him, and then he leaves, you know? So there's this kind of sadness there, but there's also this excitement, and we even see that in the description that Luke gives of the ascension, where it says, as he blessed them, he parted from them, was taken up to heaven, and it says, they did him homage, and then they returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. So there's this joy that they have, but then they're also, again, waiting. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit that's been promised, and so much of what we see, even though there's maybe this kind of sadness of seeing Jesus physically not there with them in the same way he had been before. You know, they have him in the Eucharist, but not, you know, fully there as himself, as they've known him for the past few years. But they have this joy and this hope that's mixed together with maybe kind of that sorrow. And that hope, I mean, that's the thing that I guess stands out to me. It's so important. And it's something that helps drive us forward, even when we have those moments of sadness. Can you maybe give us a little insight into the importance of that virtue of hope?
Yeah, it is a virtue, and it's a virtue of God, faith, hope, and love. So it's that theological virtue. It's God's own hope. It's God's own faith. It's God's own love in us. So it's actually part of God's own life that's living within us, that's giving us the hope, you know, that there could be the ascension, or that there could be the second coming, or that there could actually be heaven on earth. And so as we're giving space in our lives, because our hope, our own individual, personal, or even our cultural hope of us making something better, you know, or fixing things, or actually achieving something good, it's going to run out. And actually, if it's just a bunch of us going around doing these things, we're going to start fighting each other. Because everybody has a different idea of what we should hope in, or the way things should be, right? But if we're actually letting God's hope, we're allowing our hearts to be still and giving a space for God's own hope in us, then actually it's God's life that's moving us. And so, yes, we do have that faith and that love that we can start living even now. And so that's the maturity, Josh. It's also a sadness, but it's also this beauty, this dignity that God is giving us, where he doesn't just want us, like he was saying to Mary Magdalene, to cling to him in this special, or we're like Peter, to build some tents up on the mountaintop and let's stay here. We've got this special moment. Let's enjoy it. No, Jesus says, come on, don't cling to me. Don't stay here. He says, I want my hope, my faith, my love, my life to be coming up within you. You're a Christian. That's the name. You're a Christian. And so in your inner life, we're actually receiving that inner life of that Jesus and his Father share. And so then we do. We stand tall in Christ, and we become Christ. We are Christ. And so we continue to share that living gospel. And then we become Christ for someone else to help them actually start to recognize the dignity and the beauty of who they are.
Yeah, well, and as you're saying, we stand tall in Christ. You know, it's important that we don't stand still. And I think that also goes right back to kind of the second portion that we get from Luke when he talks about the ascension in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, because then there are these two men. And this is right after Jesus is ascended, and it says the apostles, right, they're looking up, they're looking in the, you know, this cloud covers where Jesus finally ascends, and then there are these two men dressed in white garments that stand beside them, and we're not told. I always just have in my mind that they're angels, but we don't know exactly, you know, who they are. But they say, "Why are you standing there looking at the sky?" And they go on to say that Jesus will return, but their question, why are you standing there? It seems to be saying, okay, don't just stand still here in this present moment. You've got work to do. You need to get on with what Jesus told you to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In, you know, Pope Francis, when he first came in as Pope, he had written this beautiful letter, The Joy of the Gospel, Evangelii Gaudium. And so in it, this is in number 39, it's just a brilliant chapter because it's talking about the heart of the gospel. This is 34 to 40, the heart of the gospel. But he says, before all else, the gospel, this is Pope Francis, before all else, the gospel invites us to respond to the God of love who saves us, to see God in others, and to go forth from ourselves to seek the good of others. And under no circumstance can this invitation be obscured. And so all of the virtues are at the service of this response of love, this mercy. And so that's just what you're talking about. You know, why are you standing up looking? Don't just stand still, but there's actually a response that we have to then go and participate in the life of God. And part of that is Jesus came and he was helping the others, you know, all of us, the disciples and everyone, to actually recognize the presence of God within them, the how much God loves them, and then to live in that. And so then that's as Chiara, as I was just sharing about Chiara Amarante, she's going, and these are like the worst of the worst, you know, the drug abusers, the prostitutes, the homeless, the dirty ones that are cast aside and thrown away like trash. She's going and helping them to see how beautiful they are and to open their eyes, and so that they can start to live in that dignity. And it's amazing, Josh, a lot of those members, a lot of the members of this religious community were the trash, were those the ones that were cast aside, were the ones that were confused and lost. And so you start to think, you know, if we're not actually receiving that dignity within ourselves, if we're not sharing that, then there's just going to be a whole bunch of confused, lost people in a world of pain. So this is a great invitation we all have to participate in that life of God.
Right. Again, talking with Father Ethan Southard here on The Inner Life today and taking your calls at 888-914-9149 as we talk about the ascension of Jesus and what that means for us here and now. Father, we've got Patricia who's calling in from Reno, Nevada. Patricia, you're on the air with Father Ethan.
Yes, thank you, Josh, for taking my call. Father, I get so focused on the urgencies of my work that I forget about the life to come and heaven. And how can I keep remembering about the life to come to keep that remembrance?
Well, thank you for calling in, Patricia, and that remembrance that you're speaking of, that's beautiful. You know, in the Eucharistic prayer, we say, Jesus says, you know, do this in remembrance of me. So everything that we're doing actually becomes a part of that prayer. We become the Eucharist. So we've received the body and the blood of Christ. We are being consecrated. That life of Christ within us, we become that. Do this in remembrance of me. So even at your work, with the urgency, right, there's no separation between our life and God. Everything is a part of that. You know, in the first reading from today, St. Paul, he was a tent maker, or he worked with leather. And so, you know, you could look at that and just say, oh, that's so boring. But no, Paul was using that as a prayer. And he was, you know, making, could you imagine those tents that Paul must have made? Or whatever he worked on, or Jesus as a carpenter, you know, whatever Jesus was working on, the love and the care that he poured into it. And so whatever your work is, Patricia, that is the work of God, and God is with you, and so you're doing that work in remembrance of Jesus and with him.
You know, another thing that comes to mind as you're talking about this, Father Ethan, one thing that has helped me to keep that kind of homeward-bound mindset, you know, that this is not our destiny, but our destiny is heaven, is actually to go and read the book of Revelation and read through that. Don't get caught up in some of the, you know, symbolism and things that might bring up questions. Just focus on what's happening, the praise, the glory, the honor that's given to Jesus, the Lamb there on the throne in the midst of heaven. That's really helped me, I think, to be able to say, this is where I'm headed, and this is what I want to keep my focus on. I don't want to get distracted by the little pointless things in my day. And Father, we are just flat out of time here. It's been so good to talk with you again. It's always great to have you on the program here. Father Ethan, before we do wrap up in our last about 40 seconds here, could I ask you to offer a blessing to all of our listeners?
Sure. Thanks, Josh. And it's great to be with you too, and with all the listeners. And the Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
And may Almighty God continue to bless you and to fill your lives with His Spirit, recognizing the beauty and the dignity and the mercy and the love which you possess in Christ. May you stand tall, not to stand put, but to go forth and to receive this invitation to live God's life, to live heaven on earth. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Ethan Southard, for being here with us today. Thank you for listening and being a part of the program. If you joined us late, I always say it, you can find that podcast. It'll be posted here shortly at our website, relevantradio.com, or on the Relevant Radio app. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about how we understand what happens in the next life. Talking about purgatory, talking about hell and heaven. And I hope you can join us. It'll be a fascinating conversation and hopefully very educational for all of us here on The Inner Life. Thank you to Nick Sentovich and Thomas Engesser for their help in producing the program today. Stay tuned. We've got Mass coming up next, followed by The Faith Explained here on Relevant Radio.